I want to tell you about something that happened to me very recently, so you can hopefully avoid the same experience that I had. I hadn't flown in several years, otherwise maybe this would have all struck to me as odd much sooner than it did. I was flying home from visiting a friend in New York when my flight was overbooked. There had been cancellations too, so the gate area was packed with people anxiously hoping for a seat. Since I was traveling by myself and didn't have to go back to work for a few days, I happily accepted cash to take a later flight. I wasn't in a rush and hadn't checked a bag, so at the time it seemed well worth a couple hours wait for the amount that they offered me. They drew a strange symbol on the back of my hand when I accepted the payment. It was dark and looping, drawn antiquely, and it captivated me as my eyes felt the need to trace the flow of lines over and over. I figured at the time that it was intended to give some indication to employees, perhaps to prevent me from trying to keep getting more money or vouchers if my next flight was also full. I ended up having no trouble getting on my later flight. Looking back, that was a strange. For starters, quite a few people accepted cash, credit, and vouchers, and there were multiple cancellations, so it should have been fairly full. But I was the only one in my entire row. Across the aisle too, there were maybe 50 people on the entire flight. It was so empty that we could have each had our own private row of seats if we chose to. Otherwise, it was an uneventful flight. I had dozed off and woke up well after we landed to a flight attendant shaking my shoulders frantically. Her face had a strange expression on it, like a mixture of annoyance and deeply seated fear. All the other passengers were long gone. As I grabbed my backpack and headed towards the door, the small flight crew lined up to see me off the plane, which in itself wasn't too bizarre, but they seemed anxious. Some were checking their watches while others rocked back and forth nervously. I received pats on the back, an annoyed glare from the lady who had woken me up, one tearful smile, and the other pilot thanked me for my gift. I figured at the time they had confused me with someone much more important than me. Now I understand. As soon as my backpack had cleared the main cabin door, they closed it again behind me so fast that it almost hit me. As I left the jetway, I noticed that something was very wrong. Firstly, this wasn't my airport, and this airport looks run down, if not totally abandoned. I looked at my new ticket nervously, and sure enough, it had an airport code I'd never seen on it. I felt like an idiot for not paying more attention when I took the cash and was given the new boarding pass. I had wrongly assumed I was going to be flying into the same airport, but on the later flight, especially since the employee booking it had confirmed the city, and the marquee at the gate had listed the correct city on it too. Granted, there are two airports near my home, but either of those would have been fine, and this was not one of them. I frantically looked around for someone that could help me to the right place, but there wasn't another soul in sight. No passengers waiting to board, no one from my flight, no employees. I was completely alone. I could hear a faint, sharp, scraping sound. The plane had begun to pull away. They hadn't even waited for someone to move the jet bridge away from the plane first. I was in a strange airport, and I looked to be totally alone. I pulled out my phone to see where the heck I was, and not only was there no Wi-Fi available, I didn't have data either. I sighed and resigned myself to wandering the terminal for any sign of life. It had been a long day, but I'd figure out a way to get home, I told myself. Probably, I think I was too tired to be alarmed at that point. I finally began to take in my surroundings. I was in a beautiful, if dated, terminal. My eyes were drawn to the gold relief art along the walls. It was really unique. Though, as I approached and began to make out the details, I personally thought that the scene it depicted was far too disturbing to be on display in a public space like this. An odd-looking creature seemed to be tearing a man apart, while weird figures looked on. This airport looked to be completely abandoned. There was no power. Instead, the last of light is streaming in through large windows of intricately patterned stained glass, painted everything a deep red hue. Ceiling tiles were strewn about, and some rested upon the dilapidated seats. My sense of unease grew the longer I took in my surroundings. There was something reverent about the place. It was almost church-like, but I shivered. My gut told me that nothing holy had ever dwelt here. It smelled faintly of fire. The fabric chairs had also taken up the scent. On the ground, there was a thick gray dust as far as my eyes could see. The dark powder crept into my sandals and had settled on the seats and countertops, and even the crevices between the art along the wall. I noticed the footprints of my fellow passengers and figured I'd follow them to find my way out. Since the exit and other signs were either damaged or totally non-existent. After a point, the footprints began to diverge, as the others looked to have gone in different directions. I noticed that one group had headed off towards what I guessed to be more gates, down a long, darkened tunnel. I stared for a while, but I couldn't see an end to the darkness, since the last of the light outside was fading quickly, and there seemed to be no power. I decided that route wasn't for me. I followed the other group's prints that went the opposite direction, towards a more open lobby. Eventually, the footprints began to tell a story that confused and frightened me. At one point, an additional set of prints had joined this group, as if someone or something had emerged out of nowhere and begun walking on all fours or crawling alongside them. Soon after, the passengers' footprints became erratic. They must have started running in different directions. I followed a couple, but eventually each pair of human footprints ended abruptly, as if they'd been plucked right out of existence. It was so quiet. I wondered, had none of the other passengers made it out? I suddenly heard movement directly above me, a scratching sound like something was being dragged along the ceiling, or crawling. I didn't even look up, just sprinted back the way I had come. After getting what I deemed a safe distance away, I allowed myself a glance back. Something light, looking and shadowy, was moving along the ceiling above where I had been. It eventually disappeared back into a hole left by a fallen ceiling tile. I was back near the stained glass windows and gold art where I had first deplaned. The dusk had faded away unnaturally quickly, and in the burgeoning darkness, I noticed something odd about the night sky. It wasn't like the sky I could see from home. It was too clear. There was no light pollution, and I could see more stars than I'd ever seen before. It was as if there wasn't a single light in existence. I steeled myself, fueled by my growing sense of unease, and reluctantly decided I'd try heading through the tunnel. As I approached and my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I noticed something strange up ahead of me. It wasn't like anything I had seen before, but seemed to be some sort of living creature, and it was cradling one of the passengers on my flight. It was smooth and seamless looking, but the more I stared, the less the details seemed to make sense. Limbs and features didn't line up with the body. They swirled and shifted and had only a vague suggestion of a form. But the pieces never fully connected. The only thing I could clearly see was that the same symbol I had on my hand looked to be carved into what I presumed to be the torso of this thing. Looking at the creature gave me a stabbing headache. Even now, I can't fully describe what I saw, just bits and pieces. Long, thin appendage that seemed to flow in and out of existence. A featureless face with indentations where features should be. Its head made me think of someone fighting to inhale through a black plastic bag. It was bent in such an unnatural way that I imagined it, as its full height was more than the airport could contain. The passenger stretched in its grip and let out a hunting sound, like the last breath was being pulled from his lungs. As he slowly shivered into nothingness before my eyes, the creature in response gave me a deep sigh that seemed to indicate contentment, and I once more smelled that acrid burning smell. The man crumbled like the dust, like that coated the floor, and soon what was left of him commingled with it. They had become one, and were indistinguishable. I thought about the thick ashy dust I was ankle deep in, and how I could feel it in my sandals, between my toes. As things began to click into place, I felt sick and longed for nothing more than to be safe at home and throw my sandals as far away from me as possible. I grasped, unintentionally, understanding 2 seconds too late, that if it hadn't already seen me, I had just revealed my location. It began to move closer, and I realized then, in a moment of panicked clarity, that I knew of a door to outside. Granted, it had probably been a 10-foot drop to the ground, but that seemed a whole lot more appealing than sharing the man's face that I had just witnessed. I ran, shuffling through the ash back towards the jetway, and closed the door behind me. It was almost more habit than anything, as I highly doubted the door would be able to hold something like that back. When I got to the end, despite the clear, deep night I had seen from the terminal, I could see a grassy field, lit by the setting sun through the opening. There was no runway or any other visual cue that I was at an airport. There was just scrubby trees and yellow grass, burnt by the summer heat, for as far as my eyes could see. It looked like home. I tried to reach it, but couldn't. It was like hitting an invisible wall. I thought for a moment and then tried my other hand. I realized that everything except my marked hand could pass through. I rubbed at it, but it was drawn in thick black lines using permanent marker, of course. I scrubbed for what felt like an eternity, and I tried not to picture that monster emerging from the door to the terminal, shifting, liquid-like, its massive body blocking all escape. As it closed in, I rubbed more frantically. By the time I heard the jet bridge protest against the creature's weight, I was half resigned to the fact that I'd never leave, thinking how terrible it would be to die now at the doorway. I was so close, I could see the pinks and oranges of the sunset, and the plains in the world just beyond my grasp. My world. I wildly thought for a moment about how animals caught in a trap would bite through flesh, bone, tendons to escape, and I felt some sort of morbid kinship with them. I considered that for a moment and realized I was being ridiculous. I didn't need to bite off my hand, just a part of it. As it closed the distance between us, I had started to make progress, and its proximity encouraged me to move faster and fight through the pain. To my immense surprise, once it had nearly reached me, it stopped. It didn't pursue me further or move to grab me. It just watched me. A sort of intelligence emanated from it. It seemed to be studying me. Finally, the symbol was gone. I sped off to the side, and I reached my singing, creeping hand through. To my immense relief, it worked. I jumped out with the goal of rolling into soft landing, but instead, painfully hit the ground. There was no jet bridge or airport where I was now. I was flat on my back in a field, staring at the open sky. The last thing I saw from the creature were several black fluid-like limbs, floating against the colorful sky of my world. As it must have been tentatively reaching out the door I had jumped through, it never fully emerged, likely bound in place the same way I had been only moments earlier. I was able to get home, I was actually only several miles from a road. It turns out there had been an airport in that exact spot that was demolished decades ago, replaced by the larger airport I typically fly into. But even knowing that, nothing I experienced really makes any more sense to me. The only comfort I eventually found was that it didn't follow me. It probably can't get out, right?